So it seems like we have a common denominator, which is fucking, if you're gonna work out, put some fucking thrash on. Cheers to that, gentlemen.
Tasty.
Oh, man. What is going on, dude?
What's up, bro? Shit.
Dude, we are pulling these out with regularity. I love it, dude. The pilot number 46.
Hey, we even crossed the county line, right?
We crossed the county line. We made it down to the OC. Hopefully, we make it back. It's like Warriors. We'll have to take a train, but it's all right. No, we won't take a train. Or will we? Well, the train now equates to Uber. But more importantly, dude, we have Tommy Guzzo. I know him as just Guzzo.
That's pretty much everybody, yep.
On the pilot number 46 now.
46, dude. We're getting close to the halfway mark.
Yeah. Now, there's something very special about Guzzo here is that Guzzo, man, Guzzo, we played together. We played, it was my first band ever. The cool thing about that, Tommy, is that, like, you were in the first band that, like, I created. I played in another band, but, I mean, I only played like four bar chords for it, and that took me through like eight songs, and that was cool. I was like a rhythm guitarist for like a Spanish ska band. But, dude, this was from the home. Like, you lived in Southgate. I lived in Southgate. We just jammed out. We put together what a concoction of a lot of Black Sabbath and a bunch of beer and whiskey, and we created Deke Factor.
Awesome. I was just like, again, I was just happy to be a part of that because, you know, I've always had that itch to play the bass, be in a band, and you brought it all together, man. I mean,
well, I might have brought the band together, but you helped bring in this show together because we really haven't hung out in about like five, six years. And then we did the one time, and then it had been another like 8 years since we had hung out.
Yep.
And the weird part about this, to put this in perspective, is that you're an older friend of Fonzo.
Right. Dude. Mr. Alfonso Martinez.
Yeah, I've known this guy for a really, really long time. We all grew up together on the block.
We grew up on Dearborn. I remember when he was a little guy, came around. I'm sure it was around 87, 88.
Did I have the flat top already?
Yeah, you did. You did. You had the flat top.
Bring it back, Fonz. Bring it back.
But I'll tell you one thing about Alfonso. He came around the block, and he was a... Where did you move from?
Huntington Park.
Huntington Park. Yeah, he brought Huntington Park to Southgate. To Dearborn anyway, because he was already freaking starting madness down on Dearborn.
I was rocking freaking BKs.
BKs. Oh, British Knights. Baby, the British Knights.
Damn, you had a Raiders hat, like OG Raiders hat, the Art Shell Raiders hat.
The freaking
the Art Shell Raiders hat.
Eazy-E. This is like the Eazy. This is like pre Drake. This is pre.
I don't think he was born yet, bro.
Edit that off the show. No, that's not real stuff.
By the way, I apologize because a show like this with us three together back again and after so many years, yeah, Drake does not even belong on this podcast. But unless you want to come out, then it's cool. I'll throw these dudes under the bus. It's all good. Tommy, dude, I got to tell you, like, after that band, I played in one more band, and then that was it. I never played that band. One band was the same dudes, but we had a bunch of pseudonyms. That was it. But I got to tell you, when we started that first band, It was amazing, dude. It was the first time I ever, like, because to this day, I got to tell you, I'm proud to say to this day, I'm a better fan of music than an actual musician. But, fuck it. I gave it the best shot, and it was so much fun to be that young and to just jam out and just go through all the things that a band that starts. It's amazing, dude. It was fucking pretty cool.
To be a young band struggling, trying to find a place to jam out, we figured out we found this spot in L.A.
Yeah, and so Deke Factor was created, and there went so many years of just like. So wow, I'm glad of the part-time job that I had to facilitate my nonsense.
Who was on the band?
Well, dude, we were a three-piece band. It was me, Guzzo, and Schmug. Alex Schmug. Rosa, Schmug. Who lives now in Houston. He's out in Houston. He's got a bunch of kids. You know, would think of a drummer maybe who grows up. He figured out how to have sex, and then now he's doing it.
Well, he had the rhythm part going.
Yeah, yeah, the rhythm part. For real, dude. Fonz. Yeah. Remember those days, Fonz? Yeah, you were there. I know.
But nobody else does, so I'm trying to bring it out for you guys.
Literally no one else. The joke for my brother was always like, you guys are so underground that even the underground people don't know who you are.
Even hipsters don't know who you are, right?
But we made a demo when it was hard to make a demo.
Dude, that was so freaking hard, man. When we did that.
It was pretty cool, and it was like, you know, when I reconnected with you, Tommy, it just like I had to look. I have an iPod that I had to dig for that I found tracks of it, and it was pretty cool. And then I remember that it was like a mission to get a CD into an iPod.
Mm-hmm. What's an iPod again? Yeah, no, yeah, I'm just kidding. Exactly. What's a CD?
So kidding. You guys did a demo, right? Mm-hmm. And uh-huh. Then so. In the amount of time that you guys had, how many songs did you guys come up with? How long were you guys together?
Fuck. Probably like a good, what do you think, 3 years?
3 years.
Fonz, is this turning to a behind the music, right?
Hey, dude, I'm trying to get the reunion going. You know, we'll fly
in. I would say it was a good solid 3 years. And, you know, we own the Duster and Downey. Stardust.
We freaking own the Duster, dude. The Duster Stardust. Was ours. Dude, if you go to that bar now, it's called Tardust because that S is burnt. Yeah. Well, I want to say we burnt that S, dude. Yeah.
We burnt that S.
We left a fucking stain on that bar. Yeah, I think about 3 years. It was like circa 2002 to 2000 to 2003, somewhere along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah, I was around that. That's a good time. I think that was about the time we did it. So
it's fucking magical.
And you were still in South Key, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was still at
home. We would practice in your living room.
Yeah. We did. Remember we tried to have a show in the backyard of the house? We built a stage.
We built a fucking stage. Were you working at Home Depot yet?
Yeah.
Because we got a shitload of lumber. And you're like, this is how much pallets. It takes. Mm-hmm. That's right. You got pallets.
We did like a three-tier thing, dude. And
we got a keg, I think.
Yeah.
And it was an epic show, dude. Because we had an opening band from some guy that I work with.
That's
and
right.
And he was like a that's drunkard, right. But like a guy who drinks a lot of wine and recites poem. While the background is just
no way.
It's like a Fugazi lover. like it was fucking awesome.
And I think they took the majority of our time because when we actually started playing, like I think that's when they called the cops on us. So I think we got to only play like maybe 5 or 6 songs.
Which built the legacy.
But the keynote to that night is so we cleaned up, got everybody out of there, and we ended up doing a turnaround to Vegas with JC. I don't know if you remember that.
It was the same night.
Yeah, in the Explorer.
You went. Yeah.
You went too.
I went too. Dude, I won the jackpot. Remember, I hit the jackpot. I hit the jackpot.
So that's another Deke Factor success story.
Success story, dude.
Absolutely.
Because of that day, I hit the jackpot on a slot machine, meaning I hit the highest thing you can get. But because I rolled with $20, I had only put one quarter instead of three. So I won like $1,500, which if I would have put two more quarters, I won like $1 million. How weird is that, dude? That was
phenomenal, man.
It was a great like cascade of events.
That was a good night.
I was 21, dude. Fuck, that's a long time ago. Our last show, I just celebrated her birthday about how fucking old I am. Damn.
So Deke Factor, who came up with that name?
Dude, Brian Pearson.
Pearson.
Deke is a baseball term. It's popular in baseball. And Brian comes from a family of baseball peeps. And it's like when you fake someone out. Like if you pretend you're going to catch the ball, so the runner on the base has to hold and wait, and then but it's ball's landing somewhere else, so then he runs when he realizes that. So that's called the deke. And then, then that got turned over into like real life when we would fucking, Bonds, remember that shit? We would fucking be like, sir, hey, Sergio, where are you going to dinner tonight? Dude. And that person would turn around.
I'm telling you guys, to this
that would be code. We'd be like, deeks are in.
You still do it? So sir, did you drop? Did you
to
drop?
This day, I'm a 40-year-old freaking manager at Home Depot. Deeks are in every day.
No shit.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? What was the buffer? Like when you knew, like, are you trying to deke me? You would say, is that for me? Or remember, Fonz?
You talking to me?
Talking to me. Deeks are not it.
Deeks are done. Like, customers are so easy to get. Like, hey, Sergio, you drop this? Excuse me? Nope. Hold a second.
Sergio, did you drop that?
Sir, Sergio.
Did you drop that class? Did you drop that class?
That was his. He patented that one. Yeah, Sergio.
To this date,
it's just my stutter.
To this date, every girl that I had dated that was like, thought that was funny, then I like it would end. I didn't want to date him. Because you have to be retarded to like that shit.
What's bad? Well, not bad, but it's actually a really cool thing. My dad used to do that when we were at the Signal Hill Home Depot. He bought in. He was into it.
Dude,
he did it on his own. Like, I didn't teach him. He's like Yoda when it comes to deeking, dude.
Oh,
like,
shit. Yoda he is?
Yeah, Yoda he is. Attention we must pay to him because he has the power.
Dude, well, this is great. I played some Deke Factor earlier. I'm going to, play it at the beginning of the show. How? When was the last time you heard that shit?
It's been a while, man. Been a long time.
Well, you had to find a cassette player. You had to find an 8-track player.
So where did you guys play?
The Stardust. Stardust and Downey. Tell Fonz, our listeners, about the legendary, what you tell at work. You shared with us before the show started.
What at the coconut teaser?
Yes.
So I love to tell all my associates that I got to play a show on the Sunset Strip, and they never believe me to this day. I said I've played where freaking Fog Hat played, you know.
Boy.
You know, Cinderella played.
Cinderella. Like, yeah.
Cinderella.
Dude, like, LA Guns.
LA Guns, dude. Back in the day. I played at the spot. And they're like, oh, cool. Where'd you play? The whiskey? The rock? I'm like, no, dude. The coconut teaser, dude.
I tell you, it might sound carried away, but it's like playing at Dodger Stadium. Dodger Stadium is an old stadium, but it's got so many ghosts. And you can say, like, well, why would you say that? I actually have played at Dodger Stadium. But there's ghosts. So it's like, I actually have played baseball at Dodger Stadium. So it's like, but there's ghosts there. Like Coconut Teaser, just being on the strip, showing up early, sitting in an alley that smells like urine on the Sunset Strip. Yeah. Like, who cares if it's early 2000s? Dude, the ghosts still exist. Any of our listeners who even like, it's now, 2016? Pretty much commercial music has gone to the shit, to the toilet. But if you just go and you know what you're into and you know who's played where you're going on Hollywood, you can feel the ghost. I mean, it's just there. Call it a fucking strain of a sexual transmitted disease that's still in the air somewhere. Like, whatever it is, though, those bands have been there before us, just in the 80s, and just kind of make up that fabric, like...
Well, what
it's
I dug about
fucking awesome.
What I dug about playing at the teaser was, you know, nobody followed us. You know, we got over there and we had a little following, but when we got there was people that were watching the prior bands, and then they started watching us, and they were like into us. I just remember watching these like three blonde chicks, and dude, they were just like, this guy, you know, gets the attention because she's shredding on the guitar.
Used to back in the day,
but I played a couple, you know, smooth bass licks, and all of a sudden I got a couple eyes on me. I'm like, wait a minute, keep going. But that's just like the vibe you got out of that joint, you know.
Best part that it was so long ago that you have to remember, it's not me, 37-year-old Walt, like doing that. Which, if that were to happen, cool, that's pretty dope. But it's like 21-year-old, like, dude, we were so young, like that kind of like. You know, that break from our mundane jobs to go and do that 21-year-old, just being a punk band, you know.
Yeah, good point, man. I mean, we were working crazy jobs. You were doing UPS at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I was working crazy hours, and we still found the time to do it. So
the weird part about this is that a lot of people who know me, you know, they know me from podcasting, and the real fans from podcasting know me from Tres Jefes. This was before that. So, yeah. So, yeah, but Coconut Teaser is probably one of the coolest that places was, that we played.
Do you guys remember the names of the songs?
Do you guys call them out? I do. But really quick, I also wanted to say we played a bunch of cool-ass house parties, your house. We played some house in, like, East L.A. one time. It was so much fun. We just played a handful of house parties, which just that's what you want when you're fucking young, dude. You just want to play some fucking house parties and just fucking you play for free beer. And you know, I think that's why I love podcasting. And that's why I think that's always going to be a part of my personality where it's always going to be like do it yourself, just raw. Like I'm already inclined. Like some of my favorite albums are like analog albums, you know, and I'm almost biased towards like convert like just digital albums because I'm just old school, man. And that stuff just is really, really it's still in my heart, you know. If I were to play again, if I were to ever play in another band, if I were to start playing again, I wouldn't want it.
I got that.
I still would want it the same way. I still would want it same amp, same guitar, and then just fucking.
Oh, dude, I love your guitar. Your guitar was beautiful. Dude.
I bought a Les Paul for $150, dude, as a gift. It was like, do you want it? Nah, give me $150. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Hell yeah. What were you saying, Fonzar?
I was just trying to think of, like, since it's been so long, do you guys still remember the names of some of the songs?
Hell yeah. My favorite one. Well, you know, it's funny with the years because I still have, like, the four tracks. I still play a lot of the songs on my acoustic to, like, Little Walt. I still play them. He's now my biggest fan these days. But, you know, so I play them and I remember them. I wrote pieces of pretty much all of them, but just pieces of them. So I have some writing part in all of them. So I still play them and they always switch. Some years it's like, this is my favorite song. Other years I get tired of that one and I like playing another one. And then some are even just covers. Like we just play random covers, but Extra Bottle of Gin, Shotgun, Welcome to My Kingdom.
Welcome to My Kingdom.
That was fucking,
it's just always, and when it's not our song, but we'd always, I think we'd end it with this or it was in our set list all the time. Was Hey Joe.
Punk version of Hey Joe.
The punk, yeah. Dude, every once in a while, I'll just pick up the bass and play it the way we did it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it was a spinoff because we already played pretty fast, and I loved Hey Joe. And then Offspring, in like their first album, right before they went Epitaph, they had a Hey Joe cover. And I remember picking up that CD. Dude, I was at Cathedral. This was 1996. Yeah, we went to San Francisco on a trip with school, and we went to this record store. I remember picking up this like Nitro Records, and they had a compilation of unsigned bands. This is like before I think Offspring already had Smash, but this record was out, and I bought it for $5, and it had Offspring, Hey Joe. Sweet. So I was like, I've been trying to learn the original stuff, but these dudes just dumb it down. I can do that shit. Part of what's up?
Go ahead.
No, I just want to say part of what the band was, at least in my eyes, was like I love punk. And that's I'm always gonna love punk to the day I die. And I'm always gonna love heavy metal to the day. I never understood the separation between the two.
Right.
Like, dude, they're the same fucking thing, dude. Right. I mean, it's the same values. Just one dude's wearing tighter pants or whatever, you know? Like whatever, one dude doesn't have a skateboard, big fucking deal. But I'm always gonna love metal. I'm always gonna love punk. But at the same time, I always love music. So I love like things like Stevie Ray Vaughan. I love Chuck Berry. I love like Eric Clapton. I love like Joe Satriani. Just random things like that. And I didn't have the musicianship to incorporate those things.
Right.
But I sure as hell tried. So that's what made our sound a little bit different. That we'd have some interludes and just
no. And that was one of the great things about you when we would jam out and we'd just practice. Like you'd always try to add those things to the songs, and you'd talk about it too. You know, I'm gonna screw up here, but let me try some things out, and you just like, and you get it.
At the time, I thought it was gold, man. At the time, I thought like,
it was
dude,
good.
Punk
it was
is
great.
Punk, I love punk, but what's going on not in punk is like these attributes to different things. Like, I mean, I love Sabbath, right? Like, I love all that stuff. So it's like, if I love that stuff, why am I going to just relegate myself? I don't even know if that's the right time. Why am I going to constrict myself to just like, just, you know, punk, right? Like, I can do whatever the hell I want. So I might as well just try this different shit. I think in a different capacity, like, I think it would have been great if I would have stayed, if we would have stayed with it, I think it would have been pretty cool. Like, if I would have been a better musician with time, like I am now at podcasting, like.
Dude, but wait, but Walt, you are a good musician, man. Well, you shred good. That guitar.
I fucking shredded a tenor saxophone pretty good back in the day, and then I turned it to guitar because chicks don't dig the tenor saxophone. But yeah, no, but yeah, I mean, I played all right and I liked it. But the thing was I really think to myself, it was like, we're going to stay punk because that's what we like. That's yeah. really fun for us. But we're going to incorporate different things. And you love that part, I think, mm-hmm. because we'd spend hours. Tommy, remember how like we spent hours listening to just random albums, like from yep. Rush to Sabbath.
In
to
my
like,
dining room in Southgate. Remember we yep. just... What was it that we'd always go on? What
remember that old school, the first file sharing? What was the first file sharing?
It wasn't
Kazam? No.
No, no, no.
No.
Freaking Ulrich, Metallica. He had a shit to yeah, think about it.
He hates them.
Napster.
Napster.
Adam. I knew Fonz would get it.
Yeah.
We would have got it.
No, no. It was like pre-LimeWire.
Dude, we would sit there, click on songs on Napster.
It would take like 40 seconds, 50 seconds.
Dude. And we'd just sit there like, so what's up, Walt?
Oh, it's ready. And then you can cue.
And then you can
cue.
And then you could like go on freaking on your Facebook or anything back then, right? The only thing that was out was MySpace, right, at that time?
MySpace. I don't even think MySpace on a computer?
Yeah, it was barely
and
new.
And fucking just Snake brand new. On a phone. That's like the phone had the Snake.
Yeah. Dude, you just got rid of Snake like yesterday when you got your new phone.
You're so right, dude. I did not own a fucking iPhone.
Hey, we're on the street. You still had a beeper up until yesterday. Dude, you know what's going on, dude?
I've never owned J&J a beeper. I've never owned a beeper. But I used to be jealous of Fonz when he had one in the eighth grade. Remember he had one in the eighth grade?
Yeah.
Dude, beepers are badass, dude.
Yeah. Do you guys still think you guys can play, like, if you guys get the instrument, you guys can play one more song?
Like, without rehearsal? Like, yeah. Right now, put it
like
up?
Like, what do you think you could still have in you?
I can play it, for sure, because I still play it all. I play it, like, every day, pretty much. Every day.
For
I play it every time I pick up the guitar. For there's a always while. A Deke Factor song in there, yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
So, for me, yeah. What about
That's
you?
Crazy.
I could probably do it.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah. We don't have a drummer.
Yeah.
Schmug.
Bring him back.
Yeah, we'll bring him back. Speaking of bring him back, why don't we bring back some brew?
Let's do it.
All right, let's take a little quick break. Guzzo, it's a pleasure to have you
let's go.
Man.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be back. Up, we're back. All right, everybody took a leak.
Leaks are done.
Leaks all right, are done. Leaks are in.
Now let's put some more fuel in the system right
fuel
now.
Fuel in the system.
That's right. Well, I'm drinking Firestone Union Jack IPA right now, and Fonzo, this is called foreshadowing. Because there is a lion and a bear on this label.
Interesting.
We'll talk about later, hopefully. But we're back. Fonz.
Foreshadowing, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
you're
we're
using
nuts. Yeah,
you know,
it's nice.
You know,
thank you, Dr. James.
Dr. James, exactly.
This is a real professional show. I'm just telling you right now. This is great. I like
See,
it. Foreshadowing.
Man, I
this is awesome,
it, man. Hey,
this is great.
That's what we do. We
you guys
we,
are on point.
We literally throw up on professional journalism.
I love it.
Who, what, where, when, and why are you still on the show?
Yeah, exactly. And it's never in that order. It's like, what?
Where?
Huh?
Yeah.
Para
llevar?
Guzo, you're here with us, man. The Deke Factor, dude. Years. Ancient. Years. Like, this is like, I mean, it's the equivalent, but it's not of the MC5. You know what they always said about the MC5?
I like how you put that.
They always said the MC5 was a better live band than anything they ever did recorded. And you can't find anything really good recorded from the MC5. Like, you just had to be there.
Yeah.
You had to be there for Deke Factor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree.
All right. Speaking of music, Fonz, this is our second installment. Second. All right.
Are you ready?
Are you guys ready? We got our homework in. I think we can do it. This is now our second installment of metal music. Not that kind of metal.
No.
Olympic metal. On our counting down our days to Rio, we have metal music.
Counting our days to Zika virus.
Zika virus.
And mosquitoes.
Polluting lakes and all things of what metal. It takes. Metal music. All right. We got the bronze. We got the silver. We got the gold. Today's category will be
Workout albums.
You know what? Everyone loves a workout, but there's some days that you just hate to work out. There's probably a lot of days that you hate to work out. What are the albums that drive you? What gets the bronze, silver, and gold? You know what? To get to you, because if I don't know these albums, I better put them in my library.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Guzo, you're a guest. Why don't you start first?
Start with bronze.
The whole thing. Bronze, silver, gold, baby. Come on.
Okay. So I'll go bronze. I'm going to have to go with a little Sabbath, right?
All right.
Black Sabbath.
Why?
The first one, just because it was so heavy.
Yeah, it is.
There were long songs. There's only maybe 5 or 6 songs on that album, but they're all heavy.
Because and they're long. Like you said, they're long. If you can get through one song, you're like, fuck
yeah. Yeah, you just worked out. Right. Okay. So my next one would be, and it's kind of weird. I don't know if. I'm just throwing it out there. Van Halen.
Yeah.
1984.
Oh, why would you just be throwing that out there, man? 1984 is a fucking sick ass album.
Just a lot of energy. Just kind of dig it. You know, you could.
Bust still it garagey. Out it's before Sam Hagar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no Hagar. And number one for me, I mean, this is just me here. Suicidal Tendencies.
The original album. I saw your mommy.
You cannot not get pumped listening to that.
Dude.
I don't know. Call me crazy, but that's...
Yeah, even in that album, the opening track, he's going to make a deal with the devil. I forget the name of that track, but then he says, I don't want you. I'm better. Like you suck.
Yeah. It's just heavy. From beginning to end, it's heavy.
That's what I knew after that track, that they were Christian band.
and all he wanted was a Pepsi.
All he wanted was a fucking Pepsi.
You should have just asked for a Coke.
I think Institutionalized is like track 6 on that album, dude. When you get that far, dude, you're over the mountain.
It's a real random list, but I just think for me that's kind of what would get me going. That does get me going, like when I want to, you know, work out.
What was your silver? You got
Halen.
Halen, 1984. Nice. You got Sabbath, Van Halen, Suicidal Tendencies. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Fonz, what say you?
I got next? Ooh, yeah. All right. I think you guys are going to like my list, too.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, because I like Tommy, so I'm going to have to add that to my workout list right there.
Oh, for sure. You know, by the way, none of those albums, no, Suicidal, but the other two were not on my list, so I got to put those in.
Okay, so my list, Bronze, Wu-Tang Forever.
Nice.
Oh, that is the sleeper one. That's a sleeper
for sure.
Not only that, it's a double album, so you can get your half marathon going right there if you're training for that.
Exactly.
You know, you just put that on, and you just done. Press play. Okay. You are done. You're working
good.
Out.
Good. I like it.
So my silver would be Pantera, Vulgar Display of Power.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you know that's
you know he was gonna go there.
That's power. That's some powerlifting shit right
when
there.
When he gets
right?
a fucking fucking hostile, turn it up. Turn
you know, and watch
up.
Out, people. Right, yeah. You're gonna or fuck
walk,
something up.
Put walk.
Dude,
on.
Dude, 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 dude. Yeah. All right.
All right. Grand finale.
And gold has to be Slayer, South of Heaven.
Ooh, only I like heaven. It.
Cause it's like your end has to be your best.
Yeah. So you know you're just like tired and going, and you just hit that one.
And you
up.
Know what I appreciate about that one is like a lot of people will always pick Seasons in the Abyss for Slayer. And nobody ever gives South of Heaven love. That's a great album.
That that is like you're a true fan if you're a, if you like South of, because you forget also Rain and Blood was a good album.
Rain and Blood was awesome.
Ooh, yeah.
So then to pick South of Heaven, that is fun. You know what's really fucking cool is I got to give some love because you say that as you're wearing the heavy metal T-shirt right there from Salt Lake.
Hey,
that
dude,
is,
I have to.
That is vintage there.
That's
dude.
A great shirt.
I love it's getting its cracking going right there. It's,
yeah,
it's
that's what
breaking
you
in,
need to
you
make
know?
That happen. All right,
that's so you know it's legit.
Your judging is fucking legit, dude.
I can't wait to hear.
You know what?
Bro.
I wish like fucking Olympic judges would fucking take a page out of your book. Right now with the NBA basketball, the Spurs, I think they got eliminated.
They're done.
I think the refs could take a page out of your book, dude. That is genuine judging, dude.
So,
all right. Next.
I'm real curious. I'm not trying to take over the show here, but let's see,
my
friend.
Mine is pretty predictable. It's not going to be crazy, out of control, but these are straight up my go-tos.
Okay.
This is it for years. All right. Number one, the bronze. The Bronze is one of my favorite bands of all time. And it's not like, it's kind of an alternative from what you would think, but it's Social D, Social Distortion album. The very first one, Skull and Bones, holding a cigarette and a martini. You got fucking Story of My Life, Bad Luck. Like,
great.
No, it's not Bad
Luck. No,
Legs
Bad Luck's not on that. I was like, hold on, Malvin, wait a minute.
So Far Away, Story of My Life.
We did So Far Away in Dick Becker.
Yep. So. That's one of my true. She's a Knockout. That's the one that gets me. Whenever it gets into that drum roll of She's a Knockout,
that bass line on She's a Knockout.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So that's my bronze. That's just automatic. Like, I'm just like, I'm going to go in there. But next level shit for real. Next level shit is going to be, guys, don't throw your beers at me, but it's going to be Slayer, but it's going to be Season of the Abyss. That's my silver because of one, the way it ends. I mean, you're just at the last song and it's Season of the Abyss. It's one of the all-time greatest songs, period. Dude. Like, I have no problem putting that up against Kashmir or fucking anything like that.
Great,
it's
great
a fucking
song.
Great song. And it's, you know, dude, for that reason, it's popular, but it's a great
song. That's a great song. It's a great album.
Dead Skin Mask, Skeleton of Society. Like, I mean, there's just fucking tracks that like.
I want to name a band Skeletons of Society.
That would be fucking great, dude.
I wanted to name
that would be fucking great. Would that, is that a deke or is that a like for real?
That's for real. That is legit.
That sounds like a for real factor of Skeleton Society. That album just has like whenever you're done with an epic track, it just bleeds right into the next fucking epic track. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great album. But I think there's nothing that beats that except for one album, which is. From the beginning to the end, hands down, you're fucking just jamming, dude. You're just fucking, it's a great piece of work. And it's Dave Mustaine's Rust in Peace. That is, that doesn't have the Peace Sells But Who's Buying?
No,
doesn't have that.
I just played that one.
Okay.
I was just thinking that in my head.
That's a good album, but I think Rust in Peace, they put it all together. Every fucking drum beat, every fucking Dave Mustaine,
Dave Mustaine. Who else was on that? Dave Ellefson.
No, Marty Friedman.
Marty Friedman.
Friedman. Just there's a song called Hangar 18 on that.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing 164 notes, which means he's playing fucking 64 notes in a bar of like four counts. 1, 2, 3, 4. That was 64 notes he played on a guitar. Like, I mean, it's just vicious, dude. That's what I like when I'm trying to work out. Like, I love Portishead. I save that for whiskey drinking or like fucking sit on my porch. But like. Working out, dude, it's got to be vicious. It's got to be intense. And I don't think nothing, because there's metal bands and there's deeper, harder bands. Yeah, good luck trying to go against Dave Mustaine, the kings of thrash, bro. Yeah. Thrash will always beat metal in my book. Mm-hmm. Thrash is metal, but the thrash style will always beat metal because it is sheer. The thing's kind of what I wanted to create. It's sheer musicianship built with speed, bro.
Yeah.
It's fucking Calvin
and it has
Johnson,
Dawn Patrol
bro.
On there. Dawn Patrol.
Dude, you're a jerk. I was about to cut you off right now. I was like, Alfonso loved that friggin' song.
Let's not forget, dude. Tommy, you played the bass. Alfonso owned a bass too, right?
That's what I'm saying. That was his cut, dude. When
Dawn Patrol was the shit.
It's a fucking vicious album. Season of the Abyss is vicious, not as vicious. And Social D is just a part of who I am. So like those
three. Honestly, I like all the picks that we went with.
I agree. There's it's nothing just I don't
It's all
with.
Different. I mean, this it's good.
It's
good stuff.
It's like, you know, nowadays it's like you just pick like the singles and everything because you got iTunes and all that. But I like the fact that these are albums that we can listen to the whole way through.
Exactly.
And you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, no. I mean, sometimes you have, if you want, like you get go on iTunes and you have to, you like one song, but it's album only, so you have to buy the whole album. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, I mean, before it's like these albums were good. They weren't pressured into like, let's get something out real quick and stuff. And now it's like, oh, right, next album.
I just don't think anyone's good enough anymore.
You don't listen to an album front to back.
Anymore. It doesn't exist. Anymore. So it seems like we have a common denominator, which is fucking, if you're going to work out, put some fucking thrash on.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Absolutely.
Cheers to that, cheers, gentlemen. Cheers.
I like you guys' style.
Cheers.
Sounds like we have the same influence. Mm. See that? That's called transitioning.
Yeah.
Speaking of influence, Fonz, you sent me a link to a really good article that opened my mind up because I mean, I knew it existed. I just didn't know it to the extent, but it was on influencers, right?
Yeah.
That's the common term among the
these social media,
the
dudes.
Marketing and the media guys. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So like, there's these guys online that are famous for like YouTube and social media. They all take. I mean, they all have their specialty, right? So there's companies out there that are trying to hire them to influence the demographics in their category. Right. Most of them are teens, you know. Mm-hmm. So these kids that are these influencers, they get paid to show up to parties. They get paid. It started off with like a couple $100 and now it's like $500,000.
But they get paid to wear brands, right?
Just sometimes to wear brands, talk about them. To have them in their videos, in their pictures, in a photo shoot or whatever it is, have it in the background, display it, you know, holding a beer can or
so these
display it on whatever, you know, whatever.
These guys are called influencers.
Influencers. That's what they're because coined they as. they get followed by millions of people or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. They get a bunch of followers. So it started off as just, you know what, we'll pay these kids that you know, they have a lot of influence. And we'll pay them a couple $100 to like show up at this party, a rooftop party, yeah. Or we'll give them some free milkshakes at our restaurant, and you know, oh, everybody's gonna start coming to our place.
I love milkshakes.
Yeah. Have you been to Milk?
No.
Oh, you got to go to Milk.
No,
it's good. So like all these companies were like trying to get their foot in the door with kids and teenagers and everything, mm-hmm. And they started realizing that. They were asking for a lot more money and not getting enough in return. And then when they started talking to them, it's like, what do you guys do?
Nothing.
We're influencers.
What do you guys like have? What can you guys bring to the table?
Mm. Nothing.
You know? So they weren't getting their money's worth. And it's so easy nowadays to buy your likes on Instagram, buy your likes on Facebook,
right.
And then just have all these followers that are just bots. So I'm never gonna do that. I mean, I'm not an influencer anymore. I'm not that at that age where teenagers are gonna follow me. But I know that when I say something or when I talk about something, it's because I actually really like it. So I mean, if a product comes out, and then now companies are starting to realize that
right.
You can't buy these influencers, you're not going to get anything off these influencers anymore. It's done. So right. It's like, you got to bring something to the table.
Right.
But the second thing is that one, they ask you what you're going to do. You're like, you're not an influencer. You're a podcaster. Which
yeah.
It's different. Mm-hmm. The second thing is like, I talked to a guy who worked at a marketing firm. This is a couple of years back. And he's like, this is like when Facebook was coming up and he's like, people are going to pay me freaking, you know, $1 million. I got $1 million accounts with companies, and the first thing they want to do is like, you're going to create a really awesome Facebook page. It's like, dude, that's not what the research shows. Facebook is not, you're really paying me this much money, mm-hmm. And you're going to make me go online and start a Facebook account for you guys. Like,
right.
The research doesn't support that kind of shit is going to make you a lot of money. And these are like, you know, companies in big industries. This isn't like a clothing brand, like a, like a, you know, like an up and coming. These are legit,
like Fortune 500 type stuff,
foundational
right?
companies that were like didn't really understand what the social media thing was. And it's like, dude, the reason why we don't do it is because we've done our research. If we've done our research and it supported it, we would do it. I mean, this isn't that too much long ago. This is 2008, 2009. And it's like, there's nothing to support that you're gonna build like monumental money off of social media stuff. Anyway, that was his argument in a conversation that we had, and I was like, that's weird because it's pretty popular, but you know, come full circle, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, they were paying these kids too much money and they weren't getting anything in return. And finally, like, you know, at least we know that we can come to the table and interview anybody, and we've proven it. Like, yeah. We can interview anybody and have a pretty good show.
So, Fonz, are you making a case that we're the new world influencers?
No, we're just content creators.
The new world
influencers. So, if I went, like, you know, Southern California, actually, all of the world has this, like, you know, NFO. Can we, like, put a sticker over it and be like, NFI? Why is F? That's not even F is in there. No. NWO. NWI, New World Influencers.
That works for me. Is that what I have to put on the stickers now?
Joel Alstein, you better watch your back, motherfucker. Joel. I don't even know if he's part of that crew or however they run, the Voltron crew. I don't know. Yeah, but is he a New World Order kind of guy?
I believe he is.
Yeah, well.
Joel Alstein?
The church guy?
The church guy?
Yeah.
The cheater?
Yeah.
You got caught cheating?
Yeah, I call them putzes.
Hey, New World influence, baby. Yeah. Influencers. All right. So I got to tell you, man, our last show was amazing. If you're listening to this show, listen to the next show. Well, you can't listen to the next show because it's not out, but listen to the last show.
But do when it does come out, right?
But do when nice. It does come out. Yes, don't stop right now. But I got to tell you, last show was monumental. And, you know, I am of the people now, Fonz. I am of the people. I listen to the people.
You are? You're the Donald Trump of podcasting?
Wow. You know?
You're a lot smarter than that.
No,
guy.
Wait. I don't know about Donald Trump, but I know he's the Burt Reynolds of podcasting.
Oh, there you go.
That's what you are, man.
I was going to say the Donald Duck of podcasting, but, you know, let's put those together, dude.
Give me a Reynolds, dude.
Pato.
Yeah, I'll do the Reynolds. When it calls for it. It can't be fake.
Got it.
Because I'm not an influencer. You get
boom!
That joke?
See?
I love it. I've had that Burt Reynolds laugh dormant for years, dude.
Dude, that's back to the Napster days, man. Yeah. Reynolds.
MA
101.
Music
dude.
Appreciation, dude. Fonz, I am of the people now. Dude.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, this podcast is of the people. I listen to the people. Even if people don't listen to the show, I'm still of the people. Because then now they probably are. I came across a gentleman. And he asked me a question. He goes, you know what? You're a podcaster. You guys, you know, I got something for you. I argue this every year at my company party. This guy owns this company.
Right.
Like every year at my own fucking company party, I got this debate. Who the hell wins? A bear or a lion in a battle of the death? And then my response to that was like, apparently you don't have women in your company. That's not what I said. But what I thought about was like, yeah, I've seen that fight. I've seen that fight. He's like, really? Who won? I was like, I don't know, because it's a picture. It's on a beer. It's on Firestone, which is why we're drinking that today. We're drinking the Firestone Union Jack, tying it back to a couple of minutes ago.
And it's really good.
And it's a goddamn bear. I'm pretty sure it's like the bigger bear. So it's like a grizzly bear against a lion.
Can I jump in on this?
Sure.
Yeah, you're on the
it's
show.
It's your show.
So let's analyze this real quick. So the bear has a little weak arm right there. Like,
No, you know what I saw when
that? Hold on. Let me set the tone here. So he asked, and that's what I said. I go, I don't know, because it's not a motion picture. They're still, so I really don't know who wins. But you know what I did? I did my research.
Oh,
I wanted to
have,
find the answer to the people. But before I did that, I want to know what you guys think based off of the picture, Guzo, what you're looking at.
Off the Union IPA Jack, and I seen the logo because I knew the question prior to the show, right?
Fonz is going
to
hit it out of the park right now.
So look at this shit, right? So you see these two dudes, this fucking lion and a bear about to duke it out, right?
Wait, how does this fight begin? Please paint the picture.
I don't know.
Vonzo, how did this fight?
Lion. Yeah. So this ain't Africa.
Yeah.
So they were drinking.
Hey, bear, you calling me black?
What's up, bro?
So
he goes, hey, bear. And then the bear goes, hey, you calling me Canadian?
So this
Vonzo has a backstory.
So these guys look like they were
neighbors.
Drunk at a bar.
Okay.
Bare knuckle fighting. Bear, you like that one,
it
right
is,
there?
It,
it's bare knuckle.
Bare knuckle. I like it. I like it.
I had to say it a couple times before you guys got that.
Bare knuckle fighting.
Well, you know
they're probably just lying around.
They're stripped down to like fists. They're down to their bare essentials. If you know what I mean.
Whoa. Bingo, dude. Go ahead, Fonz.
They just look like the 1900s fucking
yeah
the Irish fighting guys, you know, that's what the picture looks like.
Put up your dukes, come on now.
that's like mobster
you
days.
You see, come on, put up your dukes, huh?
For real, like, that's exactly
like
what
Patty,
it sounds like.
Like one of them's like named Patty Ryan or something. You know, it's like come on,
Putty Ryan and freaking Snots McGee over there.
The Johnny Morrison.
So apparently there's in Ireland there's bears, and according to your story right now there's bears and lions in Ireland. Got it. So who wins?
Who wins? I would have to say the lion.
The lion. Why do you think the lion would win?
Because he reminds me like he's gonna use not only his fist, which are his claws, but he's gonna bite the motherfucker. He's gonna go all Tyson on this motherfucker.
Fist, not only are they his claws, that's
great. His paws, claws.
He's gonna Tyson him.
He's gonna Tyson him. All right, dude.
Tyson the lion's just gonna fucking blah.
It's gonna go from a boxing match to like just straight
to straight friggin'
straight. What's that shit called?
Celebrity death match.
Yeah.
All right. So you're for the lion.
Yes.
Guzzo, what's your counter, or do you feel the same way?
I like the lion, but I'm going to have to go with the bear.
What?
You know why?
Why?
Because the bear can take a beating, and he's got a little hand.
And he's got a little six-pack.
And he's got a six-pack. Dude, that's what I was... That was my... He's got a pack, dude. The lion doesn't have one,
dude.
So
the bear's been working out.
Bear's been pumping iron. He was probably listening to Suicidal Tendencies before he fucking got in this fight, so he's pumped up.
That bear's neck is thick, though, too. Look at that shit, dude.
And the bear's pretty much faded right now because you look at his mouth, he's like,
I think he's drooling.
So you got Canada against Africa,
yeah.
Right there. You got like freaking.
And honestly, I'm gonna tell you right now, guys, look at the lion. His little hand's like,
he's almost punching himself.
It's a little limp right here. This one's a little limp there, so I don't know.
So you got like Jumanji against the McKenzie brothers, right?
It might be a little fake out though, right?
It could be a fake out,
yeah.
I'm looking at freaking Chicago Bears versus Detroit Lions.
Wow. That's the NFC North.
That's where I'm going. That's my main.
You don't see any cheese right up in there.
You don't see any cheese in there at all.
And what's the last one in that group? You got Packers, Bears, Lions, and Tigers?
Nope.
I just wanted to say that.
Vikings.
You don't see any Norsemen there. Norsemen, no cheese. Straight up. Bears, Lions,
but
wins.
The grand finale is, what's your thoughts?
Well, I don't have a thought because I did some research.
Walter's research.
You know, I went to Google Scholar.
It's called Walterpedia.
PubMed.
Walt Media.
I found myself in a Waltercation between a bear and a lion. Remember Waltercation from Apple Juice?
Yes.
Geek Factor, circa 2002.
Whoa.
All right, so I'm going to throw some stats at you, see if I can persuade you guys to think differently. Grizzly bear is at a... So you have to think of these numbers multiplied by 2. Like a kilogram is 2.2 less than the pound. Grizzly bear, average weight, 340 kilograms. So roughly about 700 pounds.
Okay.
The African lion... 180 kilograms.
Dead.
Well, hold up.
All muscle.
The problem with the bear is the bear grows up eating like trout and deer and caribou
and
queens.
Bunnies.
Caribou.
And bunnies.
Caribou.
Oh, that's Billy Ocean, right? That's
caribou
not caribou. Caribou
queen.
Never sharing the same trip. And that like,
deed.
the guitar chord that's like in every Michael Jackson tune. All right, so he hunts the
great bear. Reference, dude. I'm just telling you right now. Good job with the Billy Ocean.
Bear hunts on the equivalent of Billy Ocean to music, like trout and deer and shit like that.
And the, shit like that.
The
like
lion that. Hunts like for real animals in the African jungle. But the difference is the lions who lead the way for the hunting. Is the lioness.
Lionesses.
Yeah. They're the ones who like they start fight. Like they put their heels out and fucking hit people. And then
but how many of those lionesses get deked?
Well, if they ended up at the Coconut Teaser circa 2000, 2003, then all of them did.
All of them
but
got deked.
They all got fucking deked. So yeah. So the ones that, because sometimes lioness start fights that
they're
they
the
can't
power
finish.
Ones.
Yeah, but they're the power. They start the fights. So, but then they pick up the slack, and then they end up like setting killing shot. They, you know what? Now here's the thing: if you think of the biomechanics of things, or the fight, when animals fight, where do they go to?
The alley,
the neck.
The neck. They go to the neck. The well, artery. They go to the alley.
The alley. It's
urban animals like
the
a
Allen,
bitch,
the
like,
Allen Theater in
like
Southgate.
If a pigeon and a
that's
cat.
That's how you're looking
fight,
at my man.
They
bitch.
Go to the alley or the Allen. And they'll fight, right? But the lion has a mane to protect itself. That's the purpose
true.
Of that. Yeah, so
true.
It never gets attacked.
They got a mane, man?
They got a mane. They got a mane, man. So, but you can't underlie the weight of the bear.
You could just sit on him.
So what's...
Bear can also be on its hind legs for an extended period of time where a lion can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
what's the
give me the bear essentials?
What's
the bear essentials is that bear had a birthday last week.
Yeah,
Gil Flores belongs to the bear. The bear doesn't belong to the. In this situation, the circus leader it belongs to the bear rather than the bear belongs to the circus leader. So, happy birthday, Bear Flores.
Bear Flores, happy birthday.
And fortunately for you, the stats.
So the bear would win. The Bear Flores would win.
The bear would win
against the Gil Flores.
Two reasons why. Not because of her. Not because of her. This is for the bear, not her. Because bears carry all their fat around their neck.
Don't call bear fat.
I'm not. Well, this bear I am,
oh, okay.
But not the bear of the bear.
Not
if
Bear
you
Flores.
Pick a paw, but the paw doesn't paw. Like whatever.
The paw is a paw.
It's a pick a paw, and you like. This is fucking physical comedy right here.
Great.
But so the bear carries its fat around its neck for one reason. When it takes a fucking claw to the neck, it does nothing. It actually sheds calories. It says, well, thank you. I've been working on that six pack for that Union Jack cover. But a paw, especially from a grizzly bear, or sorry, from a black bear, is longer and it can strike through shit. And so word on the street, according to the internet, that there was a circus. So Gil had a circus in town.
Gil is a circus
in
town.
And their bear fought the lion. And they both fought, and they swiped at each other, and then the bear and the lion died. So the bear beat the lion. After x-rays, that paw's claw not only went through the lion's mane, but the upper parts went right through the bone. And that's what killed it. It got, the claw went into the brain.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So bear beats lion based off of testimonial evidence. What do you got? Is that bullshit? Can you see that happening? I mean, you got twice the weight, twice the fucking claw. But the lion, like an MMA fighter, can go straight to the hind legs if it wanted to.
Yeah, put him in the cage.
I vote bear. Bear beats
I can't
lion.
Go back. I already picked mine.
All right.
I
well,
picked the lion.
I
lost.
Bear. I picked bear.
Well, to the man on the street, I am the man on the street, but
you
to,
are the, man
to the,
street. The
people that wanted to find out who wins bear or lion at that company party, even though you
they got
the
a new
owner,
question now, right?
You got to find a new question because that Walter and Fawn show figured out that answer. Bear
done.
Beats lion, double the size. The last notable altercation between the two, bear struck the paw, lion struck the bear, did nothing, shed a little fat. Bear struck lion through the skull.
Death. As heard.
And that's
on
Firestone
the
Union Jack IPA got IPA. Created.
Oh, as read through Walterpedia.
Walterpedia. Walter Pedoedia.
And on that,
anything to declare?
We are done.
I like to say one more thing. I got a fucking banana rant.
Let's do it.
Fonzo, that's called a teaser. That's on the next show. That's professional journalistic throw up. Teaser. What else? Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing is great.
And there was one more we did. Transition. Someone's been watching Khan Academy of Journalism.
Hey, guys. I really appreciate this opportunity to be on the show.
It's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome.
Anytime
our pleasure, man.
I'm ready to do it again. So
when you said
the next
you
show?
Wanted to do it.
Tomorrow?
Tonight?
Let's go.
We got 10 hours to record.
We'll start another 15 minutes.
Whenever you said you wanted to be on it, I knew we were going to have a blast. And that's what this is all about. I told my wife this. I said, everyone's got a story to tell. Let's tell some stories.
That'd be good.
80 years of friendship. Done.
Check it.
Like nothing.
Boom.